From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, January 9th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Ask anybody except my ex-wives, they'll tell you. Even the ex-wives would have to admit I'm a nice guy. All right, we need to get things officially launched. Let's do it with...
The Daily Datagram.
You've got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, there's only one thing more painful than learning from experience. And that's not learning from experience. Yeah. The only consolation in that is... You don't know what you don't know.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Right. Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'm excited.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
You might be quizzed. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1962, as part of the Apollo program, NASA announced plans to build the C-5 rocket launch vehicle, then known as the Advanced Saturn, to carry human beings to the moon. Of course, this was done with taxpayer money, so it took 6 years before we got to the moon. And it was on this day in 2007, Apple CEO Steve Jobs introduced the original iPhone at a Macworld keynote in San Francisco. Oh, before long, people all over the world were buying their own iPhones. And every single one of them came with charging cords that were just a bit too short. And to this day, it's still not known if Apple made more money on the phones or the accessory extension charging cords that cost $40 a pop.
People like that should be put to sleep.
Don't know if you caught this or not, but Tuesday, Mr. Trump said that he would not rule out the possibility of using military or economic coercion to take control of the Panama Canal and Greenland, emphasizing their strategic significance to U.S. national security. Now, given the way I voted and the reason I voted the way I did, you know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that nobody wants new wars. We've already got enough of those darn things going on in the world, and we need to settle the ones we've got. But is there a method behind this? Well, I don't want to call it madness just yet, not until I know everything. So, speaking at a press conference, according to the people at Epoch Times, this was over at Mar-a-Lago, Trump said that he cannot assure that military or economic coercion would not be used to take control of these two strategic locations. And this was in response to a question that somebody, I assume, in the media asked. And just quoting him, he says, no, I can't assure you on either of those two, but I can say this. We need them for economic security. Now, I noticed the word economic security. And I don't know. We've had economic security in the past without having to take over other territories. This just kind of smacks to me of a territorial grab. And I don't know. I can't say that I'm shocked, but I am concerned. Now, let me further quote what he had to say there. And again, this was at Mar-a-Lago. He said, it might be that you'll have to do something. Look, the Panama Canal is vital to our country. It's being operated by China. See, which is something I didn't know until just recently. But yeah, China's operating the canal. He said, we gave the Panama Canal to Panama. We didn't give it to China. And they've abused it. They have abused that gift. All right, so that puts a little different light on things, doesn't it? Now, Trump, in recent social media posts, expressed his frustration over China's expanding influence in the canal, despite it having been built by the United States more than 110 years ago at tremendous financial and human cost. Just read the history of the building of the canal. The French started it. They couldn't finish it. And we finished it. Now, the canal opened in 1914 after 10 years of construction and was gradually handed back to Panama under a 1977 treaty that was signed by none other than Jimmy Carter, for whom flags are being flown at half staff in the wake of his passing. Now, during his speech, Trump criticized Carter for handing over the Panama Canal. Back when that happened, I wasn't happy with it. But then again, I wasn't happy with anything Jimmy Carter did. I voted for Jimmy Carter in 76. And he wasn't 6 months into his term as president, and already I had voters' remorse. So anyhow, Trump went on to say, Carter gave it to them for a dollar. I thought it was a terrible thing to do. It was the most expensive structure ever built in the history of our country. And then he said that this action cost Carter the election in 1980. Well, it wasn't this action alone. I'll have to take issue with Donald on that one. It wasn't that issue alone that lost him the election. It was the economy, the tremendous inflation, the tremendous unemployment. We had figures that went all the way back to just before World War II. Figures that went all the way back to the Great Depression under Jimmy Carter. Now, in 1999, Panama assumed full control of the canal, which has since become one of the busiest shipping routes in the world, connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. Construction of the canal came at a very high human price. Official estimates suggest that around 5,600 workers died during the U.S.-led effort to build the canal. I don't know how many died under the French effort, the failed French effort. Additionally, nearly 22,000 people are estimated to have died during that French effort, and I'll go with that figure. Sounds about right. There was the problem with malaria down there. And Trump reiterated that 38,000 people died during the waterway's construction. So let's take those figures. I never did learn how many people died. When they taught us in school about the building of the Panama Canal, which was a fascinating story, even saw a couple of films on it, they never really talked about how many people died during the building of the canal. So if you want to say 38,000, okay, who am I to argue? And then Trump said during the press conference, he says, they laugh at us because they think we're stupid, but we're not stupid anymore. So the Panama Canal is under discussion with them right now. Okay, let's go with that. Trump also said that the United States needs Greenland in an autonomous territory of, an autonomous territory of Denmark. And he says, we need it for national security purposes. He says, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there, you know, equivalent of a small town. He says they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. He says you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen. I mean, there were rumors of Iran posting ships off our shores, off our east coast. Now, whether that actually happened or not, I never got confirmation on it. But, you know, just the rumors alone cause one to sit back and take notice and say, okay, is this really happening? Can we get some confirmation here? Well, you're not going to get anything out of the current administration for sure. Now, Trump questioned whether Denmark has any right over Greenland. To hear him say it, he says the people are going to probably vote for independence or to come into the United States. He says if Denver rejected the U.S. proposal, he would tariff Denmark at a very high level. Now, in recent social media posts, Trump has floated the idea of taking control of Greenland and the Panama Canal and proposed making Canada the 51st state in order to protect U.S. national security. So naturally, being a veteran myself, which Trump is not, but being a veteran, I have to ask, and not that being a veteran makes me a know-it-all on anything. It doesn't. I did my time in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years, got out, and resumed my radio career. Actually, I pursued my radio career while in the Air Force, believe it or not. But I still have to ask, from the standpoint of the things that I was taught in training in the Air Force, and that was a long time ago. That was back in 1968 when I first went in. A lot of military strategy has changed a lot since then. But do we really need all of this for our national security? Well, when you consider things in the context of the way China is behaving these days, China is building artificial islands in the Pacific. And China has been threatening the Philippines. China has been threatening Taiwan. Obviously, China wants to start something. Now, this is under current leadership in China. How long is Xi Jinping going to live? Well, we don't know, but Xi Jinping seems to be the culprit behind all of this. And in response, we've been taking measures as well. Do you know that the U.S. military is back on the islands of Tinian and Saipan, areas that we vacated 80 years ago? But they're rebuilding the four runways on the North Field at Tinian right now as we speak. In fact, one or more of them may already be complete. This is the field where we launched the B-29s to attack Japan. This is the field, Tinian, is where we launched the two planes that dropped the atomic bombs to end World War II. So we're back there. And we're back there because of China. Were it not for China, we wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be spending taxpayer money to refurbish the fields and make them functional as military installations. So when you look at things from all angles, things begin to look a little more clear. So, Trump said that if Denmark rejected the U.S. proposal, he said he would tariff Denmark at a very high level. So he's also floated the idea in recent posts on social media of taking control of Greenland and the Panama Canal and proposed making Canada the 51st state in order to protect our national security. And under the separate 1977 neutrality treaty, Panama and the United States agreed that the waterway would remain permanently neutral with fair access and tolls for all countries. Hence, any Chinese challenge to this pact may require the United States to employ military force. So, if you're one of those people who just reads headlines and doesn't read the whole story, you may be in shock at the headline that led into this story. But when you look into the details and you understand what's really happening, yeah. Because face it, for the last 4 years and the 8 years prior to Donald Trump taking his first term in the White House, we as a nation have been asleep. We have let all the doobads around the world run roughshod over the planet. And we can't allow that to happen anymore, not if we value our culture, our Judeo-Christian culture here in this country, and our freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution. Now, in recent years, more clarification here if we can. In recent years, U.S. military commanders have expressed grave concern over Beijing's increasing military and technology presence in Latin America, including Panama. In 2017, for instance, Panama cut long-standing diplomatic ties with Taiwan to establish closer ties with China. Well, this wouldn't be happening if China wasn't so aggressive. They're sending out salespeople, you know, beseeching countries all over the world to form alliances with them so that China can basically take over the world. Yes, Xi Jinping is the doobad. It also became the first Latin American country, Panama did, to endorse Beijing's infrastructure plan, the Belt and Road Initiative. Now, since then, Chinese companies have been heavily involved in logistics and infrastructure projects near the canal, including port operations on both ends of the waterway. So they're being strategic. And Trump earlier criticized what he called the exorbitant fees Panama's been charging the United States Navy, and U.S. corporations for passage. On December 22nd, Panamanian President Jose Raul Mulino responded to Trump's social media posts about the Panama Canal by saying that every square meter of the canal belongs to his country. Kind of a belligerent response, I guess. In a televised address, Mulino said that Panama's sovereignty and independence were non-negotiable, to which Trump quickly replied, "We'll see about that." I mean, just from this standpoint alone, it's nice to see that we're projecting to the rest of the world strength. We are now hereby taking on a posture of don't screw with us. In a December 22nd post, Trump also shared an image of the U.S. flag flying over the Panama Canal with the text, "Welcome to the United States Canal." Now, we're talking about two issues here. Panama Canal on one, Greenland on the other. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen responded to Trump's comments about using economic or military pressure to acquire Greenland and the Panama Canal. And she said on January 7th, just the other day, what was that? Tuesday? In an interview with Danish TV, kind of downplaying the possibility of this kind of an action, she said, "I can't imagine it'll ever come to that." And she also addressed Trump's suggestion of imposing tariffs on Denmark, emphasizing that the United States and Denmark should maintain strong trade relations. Now, I'm no diplomat and I'm no political scientist, but do we have to take on a belligerent role against Denmark? Can't we just forge some kind of an ironclad treaty? I mean, Greenlanders want us. In fact, quite a few Greenlanders want to go MAGA. So, you know, shouldn't we leave it up to the people of Greenland? And she also addressed Trump's suggestion of imposing those tariffs. And I'm sure that's first and foremost in her mind. She said, "In the world we live in now, I will strongly encourage more economic cooperation between allies and not the opposite." She also reiterated that Greenland's future should be determined by the people of Greenland. I would have to agree with that. Her response was notably more measured than a reaction in 2019 when she just outright dismissed Trump's initial offer to buy Greenland. She labeled that as absurd. 2019, Trump canceled a planned visit to Denmark, calling Frederiksen's remarks nasty and inappropriate. Trump later indicated to reporters that his idea was normal by referencing past U.S. efforts to purchase the strategic island. And make no mistake about it, it is strategic. Do you know that Harry Truman proposed to buy it? Back in 1946, Harry Truman proposed to buy Greenland for $100 million. And according to Trump's former national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, the territory is expected to become increasingly important in the coming years. Well, you look at a world map, look at where Greenland is, look at where the United States is, look at where Russia is, look at where China is. It's very strategic. And well, O'Brien, let's take O'Brien here. He told Fox News back on the 29th of December, he says, "It's strategically very important to the Arctic, which is going to be the critical battleground of the future. The Russians and Chinese are all over the Arctic, and that Denmark is unable to adequately defend Greenland." Well, I mean, one thing's for sure, we can defend it, and we will defend it, if given the mandate to do it. On December 22nd, Trump announced his appointment of PayPal co-founder Ken Howery as the U.S. ambassador to Denmark, and in his message, Trump reiterated his idea to take ownership of Greenland. He wrote, "For purposes of national security and freedom throughout the world, the United States of America feels that the ownership and control of Greenland is an absolute necessity. And it would be, too, if you continue to view the United States' role as policeman of the free world, And no matter how much we ride the other nations who are members of NATO to kick in their fair share, they don't seem to do it. Well, if that's the case, then we probably need the territory. Now, Howery, who served as U.S. ambassador to Sweden during Trump's first term, is going to represent U.S. interests in the region. And hours after Trump's statement, the Danish government announced a substantial increase in defense spending for Greenland, pledging at least $1.5 billion. And from that standpoint, $1.5 billion isn't doodly squat. Greenlandic Prime Minister Mute Edge, I think that's how you pronounce the name. It's spelled E-G-E-D-E, Agade? I don't know. Said in a statement, Greenland is ours. We are not for sale and will never be for sale. We must not lose our long struggle for freedom. Well, we'll see about that. You may have heard, but in case you haven't, I am happy to report that Facebook is finally ending its fact-checking program, which never was good. Mark Zuckerberg, his own self, issued a video back on Tuesday where he said, "We're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, we're going to get rid of fact-checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S. Now, there was about a five-minute video, maybe a little more than 5 minutes, that Zuckerberg issued. And it was well done, and it was very simple, no fancy production. He's just sitting at a desk, looking at you in the eyes, and basically saying, look, this is what's going to be. Now, according to Fox News, Meta, which is the parent company, is ending its fact-checking program, period. And they're lifting restrictions on speech to restore free expression all across Facebook. And this will include Instagram and all Meta platforms, admitting its current content moderation practices have gone too far. I think the thing that bothers me about this come to Jesus moment is, God, what took you guys so long? So Zuckerberg in that video said, we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X. Now, Meta's chief global affairs officer, a fellow by the name of Joel Kaplan, joined Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends program on Tuesday morning for an exclusive interview to discuss the changes. And he said, we went to independent third-party fact-checkers. It has become clear there's too much political bias in what they choose to fact-check, because basically they get to fact-check whatever they see on the platform. Well, where do all of these fact-checkers come from? They come from the left-wing mold. You know, it's like just about everything else in media. You see, who are the types of people who gravitate to media for careers? People with a left-wing bias. Your conservatives are the ones who tend to gravitate toward businesses like services, plumbing, electrical, construction. See, it's a left-brain, right-brain thing, I guess. So Kaplan told Fox News, he says, we went to independent third-party fact-checkers. It became clear there's just too much political bias in what they chose to fact-check. Now, he also told Fox that Meta is ending all of that completely, and they're going to replace it with this community notes model, which is similar to the one that they use on X. But I'm not familiar with this community notes type of format, so I need to bone up on that. But at least now you can post on Facebook without getting censored for your political beliefs. Now, they're still going to watch you on stuff. It had something interesting happen the other day. A good friend of mine, gosh, we've been friends for 50 years. We go to lunch like maybe twice a year. And his wife posted something on her Facebook page, and I responded, and I said, let Craig know that I'm going to be along soon to kidnap him for lunch. Well, do you know that I got a warning? I got a notice. In fact, Facebook refused to post it. And understand that these aren't humans doing this. These are algorithms, okay? So some algorithm kicked in somewhere when they saw the word kidnap. So they kicked out that post, that response that I gave to Craig's wife. So at least this come to Jesus moment that Zuckerberg is having benefits conservatives to a great degree. And I think Zuckerberg realizes, too, that if he didn't go this route, eventually something will be done by the Trump administration legislatively to make the necessary changes to this god-awful system that they utilized. And there was just too much power in the hands of social media platforms. Initially, the old Twitter before Elon Musk bought it. And you understand that we wouldn't have had a prayer of getting at the truth without Elon Musk taking his own money and buying Twitter. Think about that. Such a tenuous, thin thread that the truth was hanging on at the time. I mean, you had a handful of leftists who virtually controlled all of social media. People like you and I had no chance of expressing our conservative beliefs, and it was all being hooted down by the leftists as misinformation. Remember when they first started using that word? They were throwing it out. Remember Raggedy Ann when Biden first took over the White House? And I was complaining about this term, misinformation. All right, who is going to be the judge of what is and isn't misinformation? You want me to trust people within the Biden administration as to having the final word of what is truth? And then, of course, you had people like Oprah talking about your truth. There's your truth. And of course, she used that in the context of whatever you believe is just fine. No, there's truth, and then there is untruth. And misinformation, misinformation is untruth. And misinformation of any kind is untruth. You understand that? So every day, Raggedy Ann, and then later on, Corinne Jean-Pierre, White House press secretaries, would stand up there, address the media, and you were expected to take their word as gospel truth. And whenever they were asked questions by the media, there were the deflections, the smoke and mirrors, as I like to call it. You know, don't believe your lying eyes. Let's get into the Comedy Corner with Bill Engvall.
Should have taken a class in cell phones and technology. God, I am so far behind the eight ball on this. I know now what my dad felt like when VCRs first came out. would your parents do that? Just stare at it like, what's that blinking red light? That's the time. You have to set the time. I don't get it. That's me now. I'm telling you all the time. Like a buddy of mine called me. I was in this football pool, and he was ahead of it. And he said, I'm going to Venmo you your money. I said, what? What the hell's Venmo? He goes, that's how I'm going to send you your money. I go, you might as well burn it because I have no idea how to get it. So I don't understand this stuff. The only technology that I really like, and it's amazing to me, is Uber. It's insane. It's magical. I could be anywhere in the world. I can call my wife. 10 minutes later, a car picks me up and takes me to where I want to go, and the guy doesn't ask me for money. It's amazing. And now with these, oh my God, here's the other one. This is the other one that drives me crazy. Acronyms are using now, nobody talks anymore. It's all in these, like I know what LOL and FYI is, but like other than that, I'm out. If you're under 50 years old and you're texting me, there's a real good chance I have no idea what you're talking about. I texted with my daughter for 3 years before I realized that IDK meant I don't know. I thought it was short for stupid. So I would text her and say, hey, miss you, when are you coming home? She'd put IDK. I'm like, well, stay home with it. I don't care if you think I'm stupid. I don't give a damn. Yeah, I would say, we miss you, baby, when are you coming back? And she would type IDK, MU, and the number 2. And I'm like, I'd move. You to me. And I go, yeah, what the hell is she saying? She's saying, I don't know, but I miss you too. And that was so sweet. And I wish I'd have known that before I wrote her out of the will. I hate him. I had a buddy that was at the World Series game. He texted me, his text said, W-I-W-H. And I wrote back, what? He goes, wish you were here. And I said, yeah, me too, so I could smack you in the back of the head. Talk like a damn adult. They say, oh, it saves time. No, it doesn't, because it costs me double the time trying to figure out what the hell you're saying. The only one, other one I know is WTF. And I think we all know that one. But sadly, that's how all my texts end. I don't know what WTF you're talking about. Goodbye.
Make it a great Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.